listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Belated birthday wishes to the U.S. National Guard, established on December 13th in 1636. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports all LCMS chaplains who serve the National Guard, active duty, the Reserve, Civil Air Patrol, and the Coast Guard Auxiliary. For more information on their service, visit lcms.org/armedforces, lcms.org/armedforces. Well, we've heard a lot about Build Back Better. It's looming there, although it has been put on pause by the president due to the fact that, well, they can't seem to get it any closer to being passed. So next year, which isn't that far off, do you know what's in it? Makes a lot of promises. Does it provide, well, it says universal child care is the goal. What are the stipulations? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about religious care providers forbidden from receiving funds under Build Back Better. Joy Pullman joins us. She's managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Democrats' Massive Entitlement Plans Include Banning Christians from Government Child Care. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there.
So how does President Biden's Build Back Better plan effectively prohibit funds from going to religiously based daycare organizations?
Well, it's a really interesting provision if you look at the bill text, which I did. In one breath, it says, you know, this bill, not, you know, it's okay if funds from this provision that creates this big welfare entitlement for small children, they can go to what they call sectarian organizations. That's, you know, a word for religious. But then in the very next breath, you know, same kind of section of the bill, what it does is use legislative language to apply other parts of federal law and regulations to those same providers that would effectively require them to stop upholding almost all religions' teachings about sex, marriage, the family, male and female being created and real and different. So in the one hand, it looks like it's saying, oh, we, you know, we're open to all, we're okay with funding religious organizations. But then it uses basically deceptive legislative language to say that if you're a faithful religious organization that believes in historic teachings about what the two sexes are, you may not receive any funds under this giant welfare entitlement expansion unless you disavow those parts of your faith, which basically they're at the part of the core of our faith, at least as Christians, and they are very important to many other religious folks as well.
What are the numbers on American use of daycare?
I found that really interesting. So in writing this article, I went to look at federal data about specifically that. And it's framed again in a kind of deceptive way because the federal government counts children as enrolled in childcare if they are in non-parent care one time a week. You know, my kids have a regular babysitter for a couple hours a week. They're considered enrolled in childcare, which I think most normal people wouldn't. You know, when we think childcare, we think more full-time, out-of-the-home, non-parent care, kind of institutionalized daycare. And people who do that are actually still a minority in the United States. Two-thirds of American kids who are ages 5 and younger, which is the group covered by this bill and tried to kind of get enrolled in government programs away from their family, two-thirds of American kids are still cared for by their family. One-third of American kids in that age range, 0 to 5, are in center-based care. And even among the kids ages 0 to 5 who do have regular child care are only away from their parents part-time. So it is a minority of kids who are full-time in, you know, full-time away from their parents 9 to 5. But Democrats' program aims to completely change that and make the U.S. system a lot more like some of the European systems that are straight up cradle-to-grave welfare state and separation of families.
How many who use full-time daycare do so at religious facilities?
Right. So of the minority of American parents who do place their children in non-parent care, by the way, many of those families wish that they could care for their kids themselves, but they feel constrained by largely financial reasons. But of that minority of families who use full-time daycare, most of them prefer a religious child care facility. So it's 53% of kids who are in those sorts of situations are attending through a religious institution such as, you know, a church, that sort of a religiously affiliated organization, overwhelmingly, of course, Christian in the United States, where, again, still, you know, 80, 90% of people consider themselves Christians.
The bigger question here, Joy, is why do progressives appear to want more children in institutionalized daycare?
I guess there's a couple of ways of answering that question, right? So maybe, you know, listeners are aware that I have gotten cynical over the years of reporting on politics. I do think there are some people who think that it's good, you know, for people that they have a need, you know, that there are women who would like to work, but they are being constrained by their children from doing that. But I mean, that's actually not, again, reflective of the majority of Americans. Again, most mothers who are of small children would prefer to work part-time, if at all. And again, so it's a very minority preference to put children in full-time non-parent care in the first place. And that's actually kind of a elite, wealthy kind of person, you know, high income earner, dual income home. Actually, that's really their preference. You know, working class poor Americans have a very strong preference for parent and family care. And so it's really for them, it's not desire, but finances. That's really the problem for them. But anyway, to get back to your original question, you know, so I think some people misguidedly believe, you know, that they're helping people. But I also think, quite honestly, separating children from their parents makes them more susceptible to big government, to the kinds of policies that the left proposes. So, for example, if you read the insightful work of a scholar named Mary Eberstadt, she talks about how, you know, the identity politics explosion has a really deep psychological tie to children who are being part of fragmented, separated families looking for an identity somewhere else. And so, you know, if you destroy family ties, then people, you know, they still have that need in their lives for connection, for support in times of need. And the only other place that they can get it if their family and their churches are fragmented and destroyed is really for the government. So it's, for some people really believe in it, but really, you know, the kind of undercurrent there is just straight up creating clients for a socialist welfare state. And it's very effective at doing that.
You say that the Biden administration's Build Back Better plan would actually increase the cost of childcare. How so?
Well, and again, you know, so I've been reading about early childhood education for a long time. So and I've actually, you know, read into state regulations for childcare providers, and it's really well known that the licensing regulations for such people are very low. You know, the high school degree is the typical requirement. And so this bill would try to make the people who are full-time caring for other people's children have more licensing requirements closer to those public school teachers. So, and, you know, 4-year degree and so on and so forth. And so what that does is raises the price of childcare by, you know, raising the cost of getting to be a provider of childcare. You know, so if you go to 4-year college, you have 4-year college loans to pay off, and, you know, you need to demand higher wages as a result of that. And so that's, you know, one thing that people have talked about, as well as, you know, if as we know from public schools, when government subsidizes one provider of services, so in this case, it would be unfaithful or secular providers of early childcare programming and separation from families, when the government puts its weight behind those and basically funds them, and then it puts religious folks who won't dismantle their faith in order to get that money, who won't sell their souls for, 30 pieces of silver or whatever the case is, you know, that puts them at a competitive disadvantage, you know, because then they have to compete while having less revenue stream and less dedicated, you know, and less incentives, you know, ability for people to connect with their provision of those things.
Two quick questions with a few minutes left here. How does full-time daycare affect children? What do we know?
I mean, the evidence on this actually is, again, very little known, but very strong. So if you look at very large scale and well done research studies on tens of thousands of children in programs such as Tennessee, Quebec, foreign countries, you know, the results are really, really basically the short summary is the longer small children are away from their mothers, the worse that they have very long-term effects. So for example, in the Quebec program, children who were in essentially full-time government daycare by the time they were teenagers in college age, 20% more likely to commit violent crimes than kids who did not attend the program. There's been reported effects on long-term degradation of their intellectual, their academic achievement, long-term effects on increased anxiety, use of medications. You know, so there's very significant long-term effects to children of being, as you would expect, you know, of being separated for large amounts of time from their mothers when they're very little.
And tell us about the quality of these large early childhood programs like Head Start. What would you say about those briefly?
I mean, not only the studies, but also I've talked to people who have worked in such programs. And if you just think about the scenario of, you know, being a young woman who has to care for, you know, four babies at one time. You know, I have cared for, you know, one baby at one time, and that sometimes takes all of my attention. Some of my friends and acquaintances who've told me about being a daycare worker, you know, you have sometimes all four babies crying at once and you cannot possibly comfort them all, you know? So just imagine that scenario happening over and over again. And then with the older the kids are, there's, you know, say 6 to 8 3-year-olds. Again, I have a 3-year-old right now. She's wonderful, but you know, 6 to 8 of them all at once, there's no way that you can really give them the kind of attention and constant care and feedback and reinforcement that a child would get from her very own mother, where she blessed to be able to be with her mother. The kind of quality of these programs has to be low just because of the sort of institutional setup of it. And so as that's why you see these really sad outcomes for children who are part of these programs. It really would be better if we, you know, boosted children's connections to their families and their conversations with their mom and their dad to help break that poverty cycle rather than perpetuate it.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Democrats' Massive Entitlement Plans Include Banning Christians from Government Child Care. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Joy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we return, Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for our Friday feature this week in Pop Christianity Today. Real Talk Kim, that's what she calls herself, Real Talk Kim, is teaching on the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and manages it to make it all about, well, not Jesus, but you. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 13 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2021, we're $128,000 short of expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we wrap up the prophet Joel with Valley of Jehoshaphat, Valley of Decision, Glorious Future. And then we launch into Ephesians with Introduction and Greeting and Spiritual Blessings. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Nunc Dimittis. In Latin, it means now dismiss. And it's the title of one of the Christmas canticles. That is, one of the canticles sung during or around the incarnation and birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sing it during the divine service, and it is the song of Simeon as he held the Christ child in his arms. What does this tell us about the song and about the Christ child? Well, now's your opportunity to learn more. Pick up your copy of the December issue of The Lutheran Witness, or visit cph.org/witness, or visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the word from a Lutheran perspective.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Clear, concise, consistent. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. St. John Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Cedar, Michigan. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. And Zion Lutheran, Gwinner, North Dakota. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.